Hello and welcome to Observations. And oh, what a week it was. I think we do have to talk a little bit about what's on the world's plate, because I just am utterly amazed by what I have heard this week. It all began with right after the umpteenth millionth Islamic terrorist attack in Europe, and the Pope, who had just left and asked God to forgive those who perpetrated the Holocaust, he gets on board of his the Popal Express, and he says it is absolutely inappropriate to associate Islam with terrorism, and that Catholics have acted badly in the past, and therefore it is it's just wrong to associate particularly Islam with terrorism. He says because, you know, there's a problem with fundamentalists in every religion. And you just say, can this guy really be that stupid, that evil, that wrong? How in the world can a guy that is that wrong be believed as an emissary, a spokesperson for God by 1.2 billion people? How in the world can it be 1.2 billion people that stupid?
It tells you a lot about the 1.2 billion, doesn't it?
It sure as hell does.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I do have a lot of Mormon extremists coming around knocking on my door asking me if I have yard work and stuff to do. It's pretty extreme.
You know, it is true that there was, for a long period of time, Roman Catholics were terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they would, anybody that would in any way, shape, or form undermine their absolute draconian control over the people would be labeled a heretic, would be tortured, and then would be burned alive. I mean, there was no institution in human history that has been as bad as long as Roman Catholicism. But to suggest that just because we have been bad and we have acted like terrorists and we are scumbags, that it's unfair to associate Islam with terrorism is to say, let's not pay any attention to the fact that 99.9% of terrorist acts over the last 40 years have been perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims.
Well, along that line of logic, then you should forgive the Nazis for their horrible terrorist acts. So.
Well, it's beyond forgiving. What he is basically saying is there's no correlation. They're not guilty of it. You don't need to forgive somebody that's not guilty of something, right?
Well, you can't assume everything.
Why should we forgive the? Yeah, we can forgive the. We shouldn't be worried about forgiving the Nazis for perpetrating the Holocaust because it never existed. That's the logic that he used. And then he called them fundamentalists. And if you call them fundamentalists, then that's the fundamental nature of the religion. I mean, you cannot have a more fundamentalist Catholic than the Pope himself.
Why? Hold on here. Why is it only when we talk religion that fundamental all of a sudden becomes something bad? In sports, if you know the fundamentals, are a good player.
That's right.
If you are in business and you know the fundamentals of business, you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Right. Every fundamentalist Muslim is a terrorist. That's just a statement of fact. If you are a good Muslim, if you follow the orders of Allah and Muhammad, the example of Muhammad, then you're going to be a terrorist. That is just all there is to it. You know, Khan's Khan was extraordinary. You know, they picked this guy up whose son acted like an idiot and died in Iraq as if he's some sort of saint, and he comes on not to eulogize his son, but to besmirch Trump. And Trump isn't smart enough to give the simple reply. I would ask you a question. He was over there in Iraq. He told his comrades to go off to the side of the road and to stay put. And rather than join him and get out of harm's way, he walked right up to the vehicle that he knew was being driven by a suicide bomber and got blown to smithereens. And why is it that Trump or somebody in the media couldn't ask, dear Khan, who killed your son?
There's another part of that that I really love.
But doesn't it prove that Trump's concern about Islamic terrorism is justified when they parade somebody at the Democratic Convention whose son was murdered by an Allahu Akbar screaming fundamentalist Islamic terrorist?
You would think.
Why wouldn't that be the first response out of your mouth? As opposed to, did Hillary write that speech for him?
Well, he should have said, I rest my case.
Yeah, he should have said, I rest my case. Who in the hell do you think killed his son?
Yeah. Mighty funny that North Vietnamese knew that. They would say, look at who killed you? Who bombed
right.
you?
Yeah, they'd point to the insignias on those planes dropping napalm. Mm. And they said, who's your enemy? And who's down here with you? Yeah, it's just astonishing that Hillary, who is the embodiment of evil, can lay a trap that big, that broad, that obvious for Trump, and that rather than leapfrogging over it in heroic fashion, he stumbles right into it. I'm astonished by it, and in the process, he went from being ahead of Hillary to a position that I don't think he can recover. I don't think there is a way for him to recover. I think he is now so far down based on America's just recognition. That was so utterly unpresidential and so stupid. But I don't think there is a recovery for him. Not that it matters. And wasn't Hillary out stumping and says, you know what? She wanted to sound like Bernie Sanders because, you know, Bernie was popular, saying we need to rape and plunder the 1%. If we only could steal everything the 1% has, then you would be liberated and rich and successful. That's what we need to do is we need to punish those who are really successful, and that'll make you all more successful. And the people, clapped in praise. So Hillary gets up there and says, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure we confiscate the wealth of the 1%, and we're going to tax the middle class all the more.
Yep, tax the middle class more.
And the people roared in their praise.
They loved it. They loved it. And she said it twice. She said she was going to tax the middle class more twice.
You know, even if she meant to say we're going to tax the wealthiest 1% more, who is the most taxed people both in percentage and aggregate numbers now?
No, God, no.
The middle class collectively pays a minority of taxes.
I always thought of myself as middle class.
The 1 to 5% are the most heavily taxed and pay the most aggregate in taxes and the highest percentage in taxes.
Taxes are a scam anyways.
Yeah, let's take away all of the incentive to be successful. And that'll really drive success.
You don't think that's not what they want? That's what they want. They want to take it because then we look to them.
Let's rob those who are out building things of all of their tools. And let's see if they continue to build.
Well, why would you invest if the higher the taxes, everybody knows that.
Right.
I mean, it's not a hard call.
You know, and then we had Erdogan over there in Turkey. Remember a couple of shows ago, we were on the air when the riot occurred, and I said, and everybody said, you know, wow, there's been a coup there, and, you know, what's going to happen in Turkey? And I said, not a chance. I said, there's no chance that there was any thoughtful group of generals or anyone else in Turkey decided to perpetrate a coup because they can count. You know, they know that if they had done this 2 decades ago, they could have prevailed. But that they have no chance of prevailing now because 80% of Turkey's electorate, their population, are fundamentalist Muslims. Turkey has become a fundamentalist Islamic state. And that if the army or anyone tried to lead a coup now, all Erdogan would have to say is, you know, Allahu Akbar, stand up to them. And accuse them of being un-Islamic, which is what the people did, and the coup is over in 15 minutes. And so there is only one explanation for what happened, because there is no chance that the military concocted this on their own, or that the more moderate Muslim cleric in America perpetrated it, is that the whole thing was a hoax by Erdogan himself to become a unquestioned dictator, because he wants to become caliph of the Sunni Islamic world.
Well, hasn't he, didn't he, he's put a bunch of journalists, generals, and anybody that opposed him, they're all in jail right now.
That is correct. And that is correct.
Didn't he have the quote?
And he's nationalized everything under him.
Yep. Isn't he quoted as saying, like, this is fairly recently that he said this, too, that it was like democracy and freedom have no, absolutely no value in this country. I'm pretty sure I'll have to try to look it up, but I'm pretty sure he said something like that.
He is the most rotten, despicable leader in the world today. And he made this entire thing up so that anyone that he thought, and because he's paranoid, evil is almost always paranoid, and they're evil, so they expect everybody else to be evil, that anybody that he thought might ever be able to rival him for power, hunted down and imprisoned and killed. Oh, he's such a sweetheart. And the world doesn't seem to understand it.
Here's his quote. Democracy, freedom, and rule of law. For us, these phrases have absolutely no value any longer. Those who stand on our side in the fight against terrorism are our friend. Those on the opposite side are our enemy. And then he proceeded to put a bunch of people in jail.
Yeah, you know, I was having a conversation with my eldest son, who was unfortunately been really misled in so many ways. A very bright young man, but misled in so many ways. When the Erdogan coup occurred, and I said, listen, Erdogan's a fundamentalist Muslim. The country is 80% fundamentalist. The secularist in the military would never have called for a coup, because almost every general was already in jail. The few that were left would know that there was no chance of succeeding under those circumstances. And he said, oh no, that Erdogan is one of the most liberal Islamic leaders, and that's why the fundamentalists in the military wanted to overthrow him. And you say, my God, what rubbish are you reading? How in the world could you be that misled? You know, and he's well-read and bright. The news today is just plain old frightening.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
What percentage do you think of Iran is now fundamentalist?
You know, the numbers...
They were linked to a place where they had some common sense somewhere.
Yeah, the Islamic world as a whole had conducted a number of polls, and they have, like the USSR and Red China, they actually vote. It's just that they're not representative of governments. Yeah, what choice? With their votes and with the polls, it became obvious starting about 8 or 9, 10 years ago that the Islamic world had moved from a somewhat more moderate Islam, if you will, to fundamentalists, and that 80%, 75 to 80% of Muslims worldwide identified themselves with the most fundamentalist candidates and interpretations of Islam. And while Sunni and Shia Islam are different, and while there are virtually no polls allowed in the realm of Shia Islam, so it's more difficult to tell. They kept on, touting like Rouhani as a moderate, and how the moderates were taking charge of Iran, of course, with the Ayatollahs, the most fundamentalist of all Muslims, and having an absolute lock grip on the country. And then of the previous president being a Holocaust-denying, Israel-eradicating madman, then they tout, well, Rouhani is proof that there's moderates. You know what? Rouhani is the guy that actually blazed the trail back for the Ayatollah. You know, he he was not only the person who brought the Ayatollah back, he was the head of the military during their war with Iraq. He has a PhD in Islam. He's written like 20 books. He's a absolute ironclad fundamentalist. My view is that that is probably the same as it is for the rest of the Islamic world. You know what happened today in the mythical realm called Palestine?
No, sir.
And the land of Fatah. Fatah is in the midst of now campaigning against Hamas in the so-called West Bank. So Hamas, to appeal to the voters, knowing that, again, that 80% of Muslims throughout the world are fundamentalists, ran a series of social media promotions to compel good fundamentalist Muslims to support them over Hamas. And they led with this. They said, you know, unless you are absolutely ignorant or have no knowledge of history, then you cannot deny that Fatah has killed over 11,000 Israelis.
Well, what about
you? You should vote for us because we have killed 11,000 Israelis. And this is the moderate Islamic party that the United States wants to carve out a large swath of Israel to give them their own state? Wow, we are deserving of your vote because we've killed 11,000 Israelis. Then their next line out of their mouths were that, and we have sacrificed 180,000 martyrs doing so.
Well, they're not efficient.
Oh, God. unless the goal is to manufacture. Yeah, but from their point of view, their goal is to manufacture martyrs.
Yeah.
So they managed to manufacture 15 martyrs for every Israeli kill. That's extraordinarily effective.
And did it garner votes, that horrible?
Oh, of course. They were proud of it. And I didn't see a single statement from the U.S. State Department or from the American media denouncing it. You know, because all of the uproar in America is over the $400 million bribe the Obama administration paid to Iran to get the prisoners back. And even as the negotiations were going on and the arrangements for the plane filled with cash, $700 million is a lot of cash, or $400 million is a lot of cash. So as the plane was loaded, filled with cash, was taking off, and it landed at the same time that the prisoners were being released, members of the Obama administration are on record as saying, you know, the Iranians are looking at this as a bribe, and it's going to look to the world as a bribe. And so, you know, we ought not have this plane land at the same time that these hostages are being released, or we're going to be accused of making a bribe. And now when it's called a bribe, the abominator says, oh, how could you dare say that? It wasn't a bribe. We would never engage in a bribe.
How does the government just go over and get 400?
Oh, they went to the treasury. You know, said treasury, U.S. Treasury, go print.
They just say load them up on pallets.
Load them up.
It was on. It was in Swiss francs as well. But,
it was in Swiss francs. Oh,
yeah,
it
was in Swiss francs.
I didn't know that. Swiss francs.
Here's the other question.
So the U.S. government gave them Swiss francs. Oh, God.
I don't have $400 million in my bank account, but I do have the ability just to transfer money over to a bank account. Does our government have that same thing? Send them electronically $400 million.
You know, when we started the invasion of Iraq, we and I actually I don't know if it was the invasion of Iraq. I think it was actually the invasion of Afghanistan. When we began the invasion of Afghanistan, George Bush had had I think it was 10 C not C-130s, C-7s, the C-17. C-17 is the two-engine cargo jet. He had 10 C-17s loaded with pallets of $100 bills.
I had read that, yeah.
And you wonder why there's no accountability. You wonder why the government over there is the is considered the most corrupt in the world.
My tax dollars hard at work, huh?
Oh. You know, I want to say that I have lost all compassion for Americans. That you know, we have brought, America has brought this on itself. It does not deserve compassion, and that I really just don't care anymore. But unfortunately, you know, I have sons.
Mm-hmm.
And their lives are going to be made miserable by this. And so I guess it still saddens me, even though I know it's inevitable.
I'd like to agree with you, but for the same reasons, it's hard for me to... I'm still here at the moment, so...
yeah.
You know, people I care about are still here, so... Makes it a little bit harder just to take the completely flat line of I don't care.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I found myself this morning kind of waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and between 4 and 6, just aggravated by this whole thing. You know, my wife, she was pretty astute on something. The commercial that Hillary, who's, you know, outraising Trump something like 10 to 1 for this campaign, the commercial that she constantly runs, because she's got nothing to say of her own. I mean, her earlier ad was that as first lady, that she's responsible for a child insurance program. First lady, you have what legislative power do you have as first lady of the United States?
Zero.
So her claim that she was responsible for a child insurance plan as first lady is to be an egomaniac, delusional. And then the next one, and the only other one that I see her running, is the one where, you know, our children are listening, and they show a little boy and a little girl, and, you know, and Trump's making a fool of himself. He's talking about the woman that's bleeding through all of her orifices, and he's making, contorted motions as he's talking about the handicapped man. And he says, you know, I could lay out an F-bomb in the middle of a public square, and my popularity would go up. And say, you know, we need to think about our children and when we think about our next president. And all Trump would have to do to stop that is to bring us back to the Clinton White House, to a time when our children were asking us as parents, so what is a blowjob? What is this all about? That here's her husband having sex with a 21-year-old intern in the Oval Office of the White House, and Hillary Clinton blaming the whole thing on a great right-wing conspiracy, and to have our children have to be exposed to perjury, sexual perversion in the White House of the United States, a man in power abusing an underling, and then to have his wife cover for him by blaming his behavior on somebody else, and she has the gall to run an ad criticizing Trump's words? What a hypocrite.
Well, have you seen the film on Clinton Cash?
No.
That's a documentary everybody ought to see. It was on... it's running on One American News, and that's the guy that wrote the book that was with her, you know, and he talks about the...
you're talking about the amount of... The amount of
dollars, you know, and the funds and their own...
Yeah, you're talking about the money they've made. They went left the White House broke, and now
and
they've got funds of hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah.
Exactly. And how they basically raped, the one with the hurricane down there in the islands. And, they
Katie.
Didn't seem to care about those children.
No.
I mean, come on. She's such a hypocrite. It's not. I can't even look at her.
No, it's between she and her husband. They're the epitome of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running against a man with absolutely no self-control.
No, he must be brain dead or something.
You know, if there was ever a time when the decision that we made, and I made this decision for two reasons. One is I got to know these people personally, and I then began to study what they had done. And I came to the conclusion that both sides, the Republicans and Democrats, were equally culpable, absolutely irresponsible, megalomaniacs, working against the people's interests. And at the same time, I was coming to know that the first requirement of the covenant is to walk away from your country so as to disassociate from this evil. And so I made the decision that I wasn't going to vote. I was going to be a critic of both sides to help people understand why they should disassociate from their government, why they shouldn't be patriotic or political. But if there ever was a time to recognize that Yanwell was right and that we should not engage in politics or patriotism, now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
God, and look at the mess we've made with our military.
Yeah.
What do you mean? They rebuild and fix things.
They're rebuilding what?
Oh, they rebuild and fix things, right? That's what you do with the military, right?
You blow things up and fix them?
Yeah. They protect my freedoms, right?
By making people madder at you?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing protects me better, right?
You know, I can't imagine how you could do a better job of protecting America's freedom than creating the Islamic State by invading Iraq.
And arming it.
And then arming it. And then making them mad as hell by bombing them,
you know,
after you've armed them.
You know, I can't think that they would actually even know who America is if we didn't do that.
The Islamic State wouldn't exist. The Islamic State, there was absolutely no Islamic terrorism in Iraq at the time we invaded Iraq. Didn't exist. And the Islamic State grew expressly because they figured out that America couldn't count, that we were so unbelievably stupid that we overthrew Saddam Hussein and replaced the Saddam Hussein regime by Shiites and the Shiite Ayatollahs from Iran. And that worse than that, we then built an army for Iran to not only control Iraq, but for them to annihilate the Sunnis in Iraq. And so Abu Baghdadi came to the conclusion as an Islamic cleric that if he did come up with a way to defend Sunnis in Iraq, that there would be no Sunnis in Iraq because America had provided an army to the Shias, not in Iraq, but in Iran, to destroy them. And so the Islamic State is an Islamic fundamentalist organization of the Sunni persuasion that exists solely to defend Sunnis from Shia Islam. And that's how it began. And it used
from the Ba'ath Party, too.
Baghdadi began by both terrorizing Shia Muslims and Americans as an equal opportunity enemy. Once America had left and Shiites were using the American military that was left behind, the weapons left behind, to bombard places like Fallujah, then all Baghdadi had to do is create a military by bringing in all of the heads of the Ba'ath Party and the generals and Saddam Hussein's military and say, hey, let's collectively defend ourselves. And they did. And that's when the Islamic State became so effective. We made it. We armed it. We encouraged it. It's a result of our stupidity. And yet you have idiots like Trump saying, well, the solution is more bombs. Bomb them some more. Yeah, it worked out really well in Libya, didn't it? And in the Republican Party, the voice against the Trumpster is McCain, who never met a war he didn't like.
Boy, we're lost as a people.